the book of Joshua, and we're going to read from chapter 1. Book of Joshua and chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth unto you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle, and shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now the Lord bless to us in his goodness the reading of his word. Now we're undertaking a very great task, beloved, to try and cover this great book in such a short time. It will be impossible to deal with every chapter, but we will try to do our utmost to cover the greater part of this most instructive and highly interesting book. I'm not going to take time today just to introduce it to you in a sense in giving what may be a useful outline or not, but I do want to come to the material of the chapter and follow that principle and practice in the meetings that are to come in the will of God. I'd like to give you at least a title to each chapter in the book, that may help you to formulate your own ideas, given, of course, by the Spirit of God, and enrich your mind and heart in the material this book offers. Yesterday, in the closing part of the conference, you will recall, those that were present, we introduced the subject by dealing with the mention of Joshua in the preceding books to where we have read this afternoon. We discovered that there are 26 mentions of Joshua's name from its first mention in Exodus 17 right through until the last mention before his book in Deuteronomy chapter 34, the chapter just before we have read today. Now, that is a very, very important approach to the book, because I think we all gathered something of God's development of the man he's now about to use mightily to accomplish his purpose in respect of his people. And that, of course, establishes a precedent that is very favorable with God and very, very regular in his dealings with his people. And so it was good to see Joshua developing under the hand of God, as we saw yesterday, introduced to us in overcoming the flesh, in triumphing over Amalek, and then in exhibiting the power of the Spirit, in having these lovely words that the Spirit of wisdom, he was full of the Spirit of wisdom. The first and last mentions are most creditable as far as Joshua is concerned. Now, to begin this book, I would like just to go back to one of those references we had yesterday and think of his attitude and think of his response when he was given the selection to be among the 12 spies and eventually had that journey to the land and returned. And as we read in chapter 14 yesterday evening, gave that most commendable appreciation of the land of God's choice. Let me repeat, brethren, I don't think there is anything that touches my heart more than that in Joshua. Just to think that there was a young man entering into the thoughts of God and appreciating the land, the mind of God, to such a degree as to be able to openly and wholeheartedly commend it to the full acceptance of the people of God, and to associate himself so clearly, so convincingly with the land of God's choice. I remarked, and you noticed, that had he been among the 10 that reviled the land and repulsed the people, you know that he would ultimately have been removed under the government of God. We would never have read of him again. And I believe God was testing his servant. And isn't a wonderful thing that Joshua emerged with this divine stamp of approval. He said, it's a goodly land. And if the Lord bring us in, we will find it all as he said. And he said, only do this, accept what God has offered, and do not rebel. And the Lord, you remember, was there to confirm the conviction of the servant when even the people were about to stone them. Now, that is what I said yesterday, is where I want to begin. Joshua, at that point of time, would not have known that the land about which he had spoken so highly and viewed so clearly as acceptable to him in the mind of God, he never knew that this would be the sphere of his greatest exploits for God. And you know, I would like to encourage my younger brethren again. My older brethren already have trodden this path. You make the word of God the man of your counsel, Psalm 119. And although you find yourself probably at, in some measure, a deficiency, at not being able to enter into the full possession of the mind of God, but listen, learn to appreciate it. Learn to value it. Learn to reach your hand and heart out toward it, and you can rest assured God will extend greater proportions to your experience and to your exercise. That's exactly what I see in this chapter as we begin with Joshua. Here he is now on the very, very point of leading the people of God in a most memorial way into the land of which he had so much to say that brought pleasure to God. Now, that's a good thing, isn't it? And I trust it is indicative of our presence here this afternoon. Now, the title for chapter 1 must essentially be the chapter of the strength. The chapter of the strength. Because three times we have read in our reading that God, Jehovah, comes to his servant and he says to him in verse 6, in verse 7, and in verse 9, be strong. Be strong. And then you will notice toward and at the very end of the chapter, the people of God themselves exercise their privilege and they say to Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage. Now that's a very simple observation, I admit, but I think it's those things that spell out the message of the chapter. The chapter of the strength. Would you not have thought that after all that we had to look at Joshua yesterday and much more we missed, that he was strong enough? After all, he had proved his prowess in relation to Amalek. He had made a right assessment of the land to which they were coming. He had embraced the leadership as a divine gift from God through Moses in Numbers 27. And we missed that point because we didn't have time to read it. When God, Jehovah, said that Joshua and Caleb, right to the very end, would live under his constant preservation and blessing. What an earning of such a reward. But no, dear friend, it seems to me that Joshua was possibly not unlike another young man who is standing in almost the same position. And the apostle looking at Timothy that's coming forward to assume responsibility and already manifesting character in the things of God, he says to the same young man, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it well may be, and I feel it in my heart, that Joshua was timid. And Joshua needed this exhortation from the very mouth of God. Now that's not all. That's not all. Let us just turn now to chapter 31 of the previous book, will you? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And just cast your eye on verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then look at verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, and so on. And then look further down the chapter, will you please, to verse 23. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Now, isn't that Isn't that tremendous? Three times from Moses. Deuteronomy 31. Three times from God, Jehovah. Joshua 1. And once from the people. Well, that's good, isn't it? Seven times before there's a step taken. Before there is a victory won. Before there is an exercise discharged. This leader is exhorted. Is encouraged. Be strong. Now, with that sevenfold exhortation, and remember, I'm going to do a bit of digression in a moment. Remember, each of those are in the imperative. You must be strong. It is essential that you draw upon the strength that is ready and is bountifully to be imparted. It's that kind of word, the same in the New Testament, we look at it in a moment, that not only is it an imperative in the sense that it's a command, it's essential, but in the stranger sense, it's not something that you really do, but it is something that is done in you. And the question then is, what does it mean? It means this, that you have to accept and open your soul to the strengthening hand of God. That's what it really means. That's what it really means. And that's the sense of it in the whole of the Word of God. Because this simple and very precious exhortation occurs over 20 times in your Bible. Now, I'm going to digress a moment, and you'll allow me, won't you? I try not to, when such a book of such magnitude is before us, enough to keep us in it all the time. But let me remind you of 1 Chronicles 22, for example. And 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Now, note those two chapters. And notice that David says to Solomon, be strong. Three times. And then come across your Bible to the prophecy of Haggai and chapter 2 and, of course, in verse number 4. And you listen to Haggai address the prince. And what does he say? Be strong, O Zerubbabel. And then he addresses the priest. What does he say? Be strong, Joshua. And then he addresses the people. And he says to them, be strong. Now, look at the context of 1 Chronicles 22 and 1 Chronicles 28. And look at the context of Haggai chapter 2. What is it? It's clear, isn't it, brethren? Here is a time when, in the initial passage, a building for the glory of God, where God is about to put his name, is going to be constructed. And with that construction in view, under the supervision of Solomon, David wisely says to his young, tender son, Solomon, be strong. Be strong. I think we need that today. Are we not in the midst of building something for God in this locality? Surely, my brethren, we are exercised about how we build and what we build. And the energy that we're putting into that building, promoted and prospered by the hand of God in our lives. Surely, we listen to that call when there's a spiritual construction to be promoted. In Haggai, it's another temple. It's the restoration of what was destroyed. And the words are the same. To those new builders, under new circumstances, under the restoring grace of God, brethren, they need the same word. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and 2 Chronicles, rather, chapter 28 and verse 7. And you can go back to 1 Samuel 4, and then you can come forward to 2 Chronicles 25. And in each of those cases, you'll see that where spiritual conflict is to be pursued, the people need to be encouraged to be strong. Those words that I'm having time even to quote at this moment, in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 7, those words are memorable. Hezekiah is looking at his own men, and he tells them to be strong. Though we be few, the Lord is with us, and with him there is more than enough. You know the verse, I'm sure. And listen, brethren, I put that alongside Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Where there is spiritual conflict to be pursued, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Where there is a spiritual commitment to be performed. And I'm thinking of Timothy. We're going to refer to him in a moment again. With all that opens to him and to his hand in that second epistle, chapter 2, by the direction of the apostle through the Spirit. Timothy requires the exhortation, as we do this afternoon as never before, beloved. Be strong or be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I wonder, are we failing? I wonder, are we weakening? I wonder, are we losing grip? I wonder, beloved, are we failing in our obligation? Personally, corporately, whatever, then these words must come to us. And then, of course, where there is a spiritual conquest to be procured. Here it is now. Three times from Moses. Three times from God. And once from the people. As far as Joshua is concerned, be strong. Now, isn't it wonderful to see that God is, in these verses, 1-9, comforting his servant in view of his responsibility. Now, let me just come to this in a more detailed way. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land. Now, I want to get that verse over to you today. I feel God has given it to me in my heart. For after all, beloved, I have been laboring for 40 years on a different claim. And I have seen young men and young women delivered from heathen idolatry. Never realizing that their destiny in spiritual experience lay in my hand. And you men that sit here that I have remembered, some of you for those 40 years, for I remember being here before I ever left for Malaysia in this beautiful assembly, strengthened by the fellowship of the assembly that is here today, but of different composition in people as it was then. And you, brethren, the destiny of so many lies in your hand. That's the point. And you see, God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, here is the point for which I have raised you up. And I want you to be strong in this issue. Because you see these people, their subsequent destiny in this land to which you're moving depends on you. Depends on you. Now, why do you have a Bible class? Why do you have Bible readings? Why do you have ministry meetings? Why do you have a conference? Is it just to fill in and to fill out a sheet and to be in keeping with what's around? Oh, brethren, I'm sure you have a higher horizon and a greater vision than that. I'm sure that as we gathered yesterday, it wasn't just a mere sentiment or a mere practice. Surely, beloved, as we gathered in prayer in the back room and I listened to you, brethren, pray, were you not praying that the God of grace and the God of glory would use the ministry to determine the pathway of God's people for a long time to come? Isn't that what's here? And isn't that the same with 2 Timothy 1? Why does Timothy need to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Because, says Paul, I want you to testify to others. I want you to commit to others what I have given to you, that they may teach others also. In other words, Timothy, your strengthening by the power of God is going to determine the spiritual history of generations to come. And brethren, if we're not faithful to the things of God, if we're not faithful to the God of truth, then we're going to disturb the destiny of the people of God in subsequent history. Wasn't that the point of our Bible reading on Friday evening? That the teacher is the one that will guide the ship, the helm, that the precious cargo may not be lost through a wreckage. And that's just exactly what's in this passage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for them an inheritance. Be strong. And so Paul is addressing Timothy as a teacher who is to commit to faithful men that they may teach others also. And you younger men, get that in your soul. Get it here with this first exhortation, the chapter of strength from God to Joshua. Then what's the next one? Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The first command to be strong is an encouragement to the man in his work. But now, you'll notice, the second command to be strong is an exhortation to the man in relation to his walk. God has given this man directives in the Word of God. And now those directives are in his hand. And he has to be careful how he walks. He has to be careful how he moves. Turn not from the right or to the left. To the right or to the left. Never, says God, deviate from the truth of the book. Brethren, we need strength for that. Isn't that just exactly what Paul is telling Timothy? Timothy, here is a soldier. What does he do? He strives to please him that has called him into military service. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you're like an athlete. You're like an athlete. And you're in a race. But do remember, you're governed by rules. You're governed by principles. And you're not crowned except you strive lawfully. Watch what you're doing, man. Watch where you're going. Watch your conduct. Get it clearly in your mind what you really are. And you know what he goes on to say. The husbandman is the first to partake of his fruit. My friend and brother, and precious to me for many years, driving home this morning, said a thing. I know, he said, brother, we don't study the Bible for meetings. That's just the very point, beloved. That's just the very point that's here. If the farmer produced rice, I think I'm in Malaysia, for everybody but himself, he would die. he would die. He must be first partaker. It is essential a farmer lives from the fruit he has produced. And beloved, never be so occupied with the demands of divine service as to neglect your immediate need. Never. I know the demands upon your time and energy and the things of God are tremendous, but never let them crush out your soul strength. That's what God is saying to this man and to us. And Paul is saying the very same thing to Timothy. I must go on now to the next verse. Have not I commanded thee, be strong? No, sorry, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Isn't that a lovely verse? You see, his encouragement in relation to his work, his exhortation in relation to his work. Ah, but listen, here's education in relation to the word. What's that? That's the same chapter as we've been in. 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've given you a book, says God. I want you to meditate in it day and night. I want you to fill your mind and heart with the material of this book. And in the measure in which you respond and absorb the material, the mind of God in this book, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, says God, be strong. And says God, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I take the first word to be encouragement. I take the second word to be exhortation. I take verse 8 to be simply a case of education. But I take verse 9 to be a literal endorsement in view of his warfare. Don't be afraid. And you know, Paul concludes that second chapter, and you can see I'm drawing a parallel between the great principle of the older to the younger, of one generation to another. And that's just the point of chapter 1, is it not? Moses has done his, but now he's gone. And God is taking up the very language that he put in the mouth of Moses to this man. And God is giving it to him directly. And we see the parallel beautifully in 2 Timothy chapter 2 with Paul and Timothy. At the end of that chapter, the son of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. And of course, before that, he's looked upon as a vessel. And I feel this was here in relation to Joshua. Now, verse 10 and 11 just briefly indicates, first of all, God confirming the leader in view of his responsibility. But verse 10 and 11, the leader, considering the people in view of their frailty. And what does he say? He says, now listen, brethren, there's a long journey before you. And it's going to be quite a period of time. And he looks at them and he knew the demand that the journey would make upon them. And he says, prepare you victuals. Ah, brethren, I think I could stay on that the rest of the week. The need for our brethren and our sisters to prepare. We're going on a journey this week. We're going on a long journey through a tremendous book. I trust that you'll make some preparation, you know. For the most of you are going to be busy in the world, legitimately. And the frailty of life is tremendous, isn't it? And to sit night after night under the ministry will require some measure of physical and spiritual stamina. And it's lovely to see the carefulness, the considerateness of this leader as he tells his people, it's a long journey, 3 days, and much more ahead. And in this considerateness of Joshua, we're beginning to see the features, beloved, of true spiritual leadership. And he urges these people, prepare, prepare the jaws. I trust that you'll know what that means. And if it means anything to me, you know what it means? That you'll read the book while we're here. And it'll help me, and it'll help you, and many other things. Now, from verse 12 to the end, we listen to the leader committing the tribes because of unity. You see, the 2.5 tribes don't really need to go any further. That's a big subject. But Joshua reminds them, now, I'm not interfering with what Moses gave you. And you know what he did, and they knew what he did. And he said, it's no doubt that God has given you your inheritance already. But now listen, I want you to accept the fact that we're one here. And in order that your brethren may acquire what God has apportioned them, I want you to understand that you have to be with us right to the very end. That's tremendous, isn't it? See, this man was interested in the unity, shall we call it, of the assembly. Unity. I think that's tremendous. There was no ground for disunity. He knew that it would prove to be a weakness. Even though legitimately they could say, well, we have got what we're after. And we have got the portion God has allotted to us. We don't need to go any further. And you know, brethren, unfortunately, in these days we have people that talk like that. They're not at the prayer meeting. They're not at the Bible reading. They're not at the ministry meeting. And they feel that they don't really need to be up and doing about these things. But here's the wise leadership of Joshua. Now I'm going to close with this. I'm going to say this. I'm only doing it in my rhetoric. I would know that this is true of you. But I would long to think it's true of you in this sense. That is true of all of God's people in assembly fellowship. And that is this. A collective acceptance of God's will for them. What did they say? All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Now, brethren, I would love to think that you could write that on the wall of this hall. And that would be the voice of every soul in this assembly. A corporate, a collective acceptance, an unreserved acceptance of the will of God. We will do. We will go. And on a united reliance upon God as the only source of power. Listen to what they said. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Now, brethren, I hope that everyone in this assembly knows a unity behind the men that lead. That's what's here. That's what's here. And these men are praying that God will bless their leader. And God would bountifully use him as he used Moses. I think the whole thing's unreserved. Most commendable. And then I want you to notice a welcome intolerance of evil. They say, Whosoever he be that rebel against thy commandment, and shall not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Any sign or any type of rebellion or anything of disunion or disobedience must be met with swift and solemn discipline. That's a good company of people, mind you. Finally, a valued remembrance from God regarding your leader. They take up the language of God. And they say to Joshua, as God had said to him, only be strong and of a good courage. Shall we pray?